When I was a child, the world didn't seem like it was a scary place. In the era in which I grew up, children were not watched with such a cautious eye as children are now. In the summer, we played outside until dark without much notice of adults, unless wailing ensued, calling them away from whatever else occupied their days. Life mostly seemed carefree, other than the usual who's mad at whom and who won't play with whom, those rituals acted out by children, and also by adults, unfortunately, as I think about it. In my mind, the world was different during my childhood, less scary, less violent. But when I really take time to look at that time without the protective blinders afforded middle-class white children, I realized that the world was not all that safe then. Maybe it was just as violent as it seems now. Just shy of a month ago, 9 innocent African-American worshipers were shot during Bible study in Charleston, South Carolina. Just Thursday, Skip Wells, Thomas Sullivan, Carson Holmquist, David Wyatt, Randall Smith, 5 young Marines and Navy recruiters were shot as they performed their duties in Chattanooga, Tennessee. These horrific acts of violence are coming close to home. The effects of this sort of unwarranted, unpredictable earth and life-shattering events upturn our stability. We feel as those living on ground that is experiencing a Category 7 earthquake. The course that we usually navigate with ease is now shaking and tottering. Nothing is safe or stable or predictable. We don't know who or what to trust at times like this. Everyone is met with suspicion. Our antennae are on full alert, and we are quicker than ever to hone our laser instincts on those we predict might cause us harm. Because we are so drawn to the constant high anxiety methodology that is constantly deployed by our media sources, we live in a constant state of fear. And it is in the midst of this fear and uncertainty, skepticism and mistrust of each other, our lives, and the world as a whole, that we encounter Jesus, who says today to his followers, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." And those words sound good. Let's get away. Let's escape this fear-filled life where people show up with guns in all the wrong places and lawmakers are so concerned with their own political livelihoods that they refuse to enact laws that might prevent some of this. Let's get away from terrorists and racists and psychotic folks who have no place to be treated. Let's get away from those folks that we don't agree with. Let's get away from those folks who make us uncomfortable and those who make us downright angry. Yes, Jesus, be like Calgon. Take us away. Take me with you to a place that is safe, where there is no murder, no hatred, no cancer, no dementia, where people don't have aneurysms or heart attacks or any other fatal disease. We'll all get in that boat with you. Let's go away to the place that makes life free from trouble and heartache and pain. Jesus and his disciples got in that boat, headed for a place that they were sure would provide for them a buffer from the world. They needed that break, time to regroup, time to recharge. And as the boat sailed toward what Jesus thought would be a deserted place, the throngs of people, weighed down with their troubles, gathered and plotted and planned to get near him. As the followers of Christ sailed to what they thought would be a place free from the needs of the world, free from the constant draining of the throngs of the sick and afflicted, a place of quiet and rest, what happened instead was that the world surged more intently toward them. What was intended to be a peaceful sail to a place of quiet solitude was instead a cruise into the teeming realities of the ulcered, sore, obsessed, demon-possessed, gun-wielding, mentally ill, angry, hate-filled reality of a world in need of Jesus and his followers. When Jesus and his followers stepped out of that boat, they expected to get rest and refreshment. They wanted some time for themselves. They did not want to be bothered with the needs of the world right then. But what they found was that the needs of the world were right there with them as they stepped off the boat. The folks who were in need, whose lives had been turned upside down, had gone to great lengths to find Jesus and his friends. And so, Jesus and his friends met them where they were and showed them the way to health. When the news in the world and in our lives seems like more than we can bear, we might look for an escape, bury our heads in the sand like ostriches, or just run away to a place where we can't be found. To ward off the constant barrage of anxiety stimulation, maybe we should shut off the television, supposed news from time to time, or forever. The quiet filling the space that was previously taken by a barrage of talking heads might just be the place where we find Jesus and where Jesus calls us to be his followers. Jesus is still calling his followers to a quiet place, a place free from the nagging, raging, yelling places of the world. Jesus calls his followers to a place of calm and a place of trust in him. The world is raging and scary and violent. There are needs, many, many needs. There is one quiet place, and the quiet place is Jesus. Jesus does not call for violence or hatred, ever. Jesus calls us to love, period. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Yes, our world is a violent and scary place. There are people who act out of fear and hatred in all sorts of circumstances. We would do well to act in any way we can to help curb the violence that seems to be escalating. Even in the midst of the messiness of the world, Jesus still calls his followers to do just that, follow him. In the chaos and uncertainty, in the hard times and in the easy times, Jesus calls his followers to meet him and be a part of changing the world. Amen.